about some things she learned from being a mother. And I thought these things were very good. So these were things she learned. I guess she had several children and some boys. And so here's some lessons that she learned that she did not know before being a mother. That if you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Batman underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, to spread paint all over four walls of a 20 by 20 foot room. She also learned that you should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on. When using the ceiling fan as a bat, you have to throw the balls up a few times before you get a hit. And the ceiling fan, when it is a hit, the baseball will go a very long way. She also learned with the same incident that the glass in windows, even double pane, doesn't stop a baseball that's been hit by a ceiling fan. She said she learned that when you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. She learned that Play-Doh and microwave should never be used in the same sentence. She learned that super glue is actually forever. That garbage bags do not make good parachutes. To always look in the oven before you turn it on. That plastic toys do not like ovens. That the spin cycle on a washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make a cat dizzy. And that cats throw up twice their body weight when they're dizzy. I thought that was pretty neat right there. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1 here this morning. Read just a few verses. I'm going to start in verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your help this morning. Please help me to preach your truth and to be helped, especially to the mothers. Of course, to all of us. The truths we're looking at here will be help to all of us. But Lord, I pray a special blessing for the moms this morning, an encouragement to them, a help to them. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in all of it. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, I pray that perhaps even this morning for that conviction and that drawing, that they would repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, please work. Father, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I think most of the mothers would agree that there's so many times often that all the work you put into this, it seems to go thankless. It seems being a mom, it can be so frustrating at times. At times you think you're not making any progress. And you certainly are, though. I mean, even in our church here, we have a large percentage of our moms that have also have the additional duty of homeschooling, of providing the education for their children as well. And know this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And don't miss those sweet moments that the Lord does give you to remind you that you are accomplishing great things. Those sweet moments when all of a sudden that little boy or little girl has something wrong and the only person they want in that moment is mom. That little child running up to you. Those sweet times, even to the point when they're adults, and we all know it, it's true across the board, and actually nation to nation, it's not just something unique to America, that when somebody's on a camera or something along those lines, they always say hello to mom. You need to know this, that the work of being a mother is, in fact, the work of the Lord. It is a calling that is given by God. It is a position that is created by God, something the sovereign God established. And how this first institution of the family should be ordered. Know this, that the Lord sees every battle you have. Think on the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which are almost read for the text, but I thought it just to say with 1 Samuel. Let those words encourage you this morning when you're thinking of this to always be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It's not just the responsibility to be a mother, it's also a privilege. Do not let this world convince you that you are wasting your life. The truth is, the feminist movement of the Western world is stealing away from so many women what true joy is all about. Think about this, and I have one lady that I knew well back in my Air Force days, and at the time I was mid-20s, going on probably 26, 27 years old. And she was actually at retirement age at that time and had her career, lived completely for her career, never had any children. They decided not to. She always said it somewhat jokingly. I would not say serious. That would not be fair of me to present it that way, that her horses were her children, though. And that, you know, between her career and whatnot, it just wasn't there. And I still remember the one day asking me to come back. She knew I was an assistant pastor here at this church at the time. And wanting to talk, this is the middle of a work day. And just started weeping. Just weeping. There was a measure of loneliness that was there in her life. Just different things taking place. Mothers, I want you to think about it. The day is coming, me and my wife enjoying those times now, when those little kids, they're going to grow up. They're going to grow up, become adults. They're going to leave. You're going to have those moments of joy of when the wedding day takes place and seeing that happen. And then the joy of when you're sitting in your house and your adult children are back. They're there with their kids, little grandkids running around the house, and you're seeing the fruit of your labors. So with this message, I want to try and be an encouragement to our mothers. We live in a world that really does nothing but try and discourage. And please understand, there's a spiritual nature behind that. It is so, so true. I've heard it said for decades from the pulpit. I have said it from the pulpit. That if spiritually speaking, with the true spiritual warfare that does take place, if the devil can destroy the family unit, he destroys any nation. And if he wants to destroy this church, all he has to do is destroy the family unit. And the key way he has done that is by poisoning the minds against the truth of the privilege and the responsibility of being a mother. Hannah is the example of a woman who sought dearly to be a mom. The Lord, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, had closed up her womb. Elkanah, her husband, if you remember, had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And, of course, the other wife had children. Hannah did not. And she became, the Bible says, an adversary, really, unto Hannah. But basically mock her because she could not have children. And Hannah would seek the Lord, asking him for a child. And finally, that day did come. And with Hannah, with her request of the Lord, truly some of the sacrifices she would make would be incredible. I believe she is a great example of a godly mother. And today this world is certainly in need of godly mothers. There is a saying that I heard from the time I was very young, the hand that rocks the cradle controls the world. Mothers have a great influence on the lives of their children even as they become adults, both in the moral arena, in the spiritual arena, both are true. We look at our society today and we do see the need for it. The evidence is everywhere of a need for godly mothers. Prisons filled with teenagers today. We see the school shootings, the killings, just so such commonplace. Such a lack of respect for authority. Remember, the breakdown for this taking place all starts in the home. Children showing unnatural affection towards their parents. Children being looked on as a burden within a home instead of a heritage of the Lord. And since I can remember, the position of a mother has greatly been degraded in our nation. A society putting pressure on the majority of women in their younger years, really starting from elementary school, especially middle school and high school, to putting pressure on them. What you have to do is get a career, get a career, get a career. And it's not even recognizing how this is going to break down the very family unit, as if the idea of seeking for a family and being a mother is somehow less when it is not. When your life is finished and you're on that bed and perhaps the doctor has given a diagnosis that it won't be long, it's not going to be your coworkers around you. It's not. It's not going to be former employers coming around that bed. That's not who it is. That's not who's going to be carrying the weight and you've seen the tears in their eyes. It's going to be your children. We have been sold lies as a nation. It is a position, a mother, that God exalts. Ladies, God gives you the privilege of bringing life into this world. The ability to even sustain that life with your own body. God, in His infinite wisdom and in His sovereignty, gives a special bond between a mother and a child. It is recognized across all nations and cultures. Even throughout Scripture, God compares His love to us as a mother to a child. When talking about discipline, He uses the dad. Now, what I want to do is just a couple things here in this topical message that I put together. I want us to think about Hannah here, what was going on in her life. But before I look at Hannah, I want to compare her to a mother that was a contemporary of her time. A little bit prior to her, but not much. For the most part, alive just about the exact same time. Turn over to the book of Judges, chapter 17 with me. There are several things here for our mothers in this church that I want you to recognize as we go through Judges 17. Let me bring out one right now before we read it. If you understand the time of Judges, it was a very confusing time. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. There was a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. And this is true for this mother that we're going to see in this chapter. There's a lot of knowledge she did not have. There's ignorance that was in place. Understand what a privilege it is to be in a place where you can feed on the Word of God. Where you have access to truth and how to be a mom. But Judges chapter 17, let me read the first six verses. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, get this, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, and he made thereof graven images and molten images, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. The book of Judges, if you're familiar with it, it's a cycle, a repeated cycle that keeps taking place throughout the book. Perhaps the main theme of the book is given to us in verse 6, as that is mentioned a few times in the book of Judges. It was a time when there was a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding of truth, and Micah and his mom at this time were present. Now, if we're to read on, we don't have time to do that. But the results of what Micah's horrible influence would have on an entire tribe of Israel is going to be horrendous. And I want to talk about Micah's mother just for a few minutes and make some comparisons to Hannah. Micah's mother, what does she teach her child? Micah's mother, for one thing, she actually taught him a measure of hypocrisy. And I'm not going to get into I'll cover that in a little bit, the idolatry aspect of that. I'm not going there with that just yet. But she told her son, using the Lord's name in this, by the way, what had happened was Micah had actually stolen from his own mom. And he heard his mom put a curse on it. It scared him, and he gave the money right back. So I took it. I'm sorry. I took it. And she said, it's all right. He goes, I am going to wholly dedicate this to the Lord. But she didn't. She took a portion. And really, none of it was for the Lord. But then this was a time of great ignorance, of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. But nonetheless, a lesson he would have learned from her was a measure of hypocrisy, that you don't have to follow through with what you say. If you just say that you want to follow the Lord, if you just voice it, that's enough, that your actions don't have to back it up. That's dangerous for our children to see. Our children need to see that our walk and our talk match. They need to see that when we come into church, that we're not a completely different person than we are at home. Micah's mother would have a great influence in his life. She also taught him how to mix the holy and the profane. As she talked of the Lord, again, there was a time of ignorance. Every man did that which is right in their own eyes. And so she talked of the Lord at one side and then having make graven images out of the other. And I have no doubt the graven images would have dealt with things that it got set up in silo and no doubt probably even maybe even trying to recreate a replica, not a real replica, just a small image of the ark, maybe a cherubim. I don't know. But it certainly wasn't right in how this went about. It was against the Lord's commands, against him. And there was a mixing of the holy and the profane. We see so much of that done today, of course, across churches, across our nation right now. It has just exploded in the last 25 or 30 years with the mixing of holy and profane. Oh, and people think if we just have a measure of the holiness, we're okay with the profane. That's never true. It's never true. By these actions, what was happening before her son is that God was actually minimized in his eyes. Not uplifted. We want our actions before our children to show the greatness of God. Not to minimize, not that it's just lip service, not that you can just mix whatever when it comes to God, but what does the Lord say? How often by our actions do we minimize how great God truly is? And how much He deserves, how much He should be, that the awe should be there, the fear should be there. We should never ever desire to somehow mix holy and profane together because of the greatness of God. Hannah's influence. Hannah, when you read through that chapter with all that Hannah went through, it truly is an amazing one. We don't know exactly, since he was young, after he was weaned, that Hannah would bring the child to Eli and he would reside and stay there. So the Bible, in two verses, we know that he was weaned. And it was probably very soon after that, but it does use the word young when he was there. And at that time, about the latest that a weaning would take place would be 3 to 5 years old. 5 usually being the absolute latest. So he was probably somewhere around the age of 6, maybe a little bit older than that, because the word young is used. But nonetheless, that mother, and you know she loved that boy. I mean, she prayed and prayed and prayed for him. The boy knew it. The boy would see firsthand the incredible sacrifice that his mother would make. She loved the boy. He knew that. There's no doubt. But you know what that boy saw? That mother loved God. That's what's first. I made a vow unto the Lord, son. I'm keeping it. And I know, son, that even for you, that this is for you as well. That if I want God's blessing and I want God's help in your life, I've got to honor the way God has directed. Samuel was taught, different than Micah, how great Jehovah is. That even if it requires great sacrifice, you follow Him. Samuel was taught the importance of holiness. And that above all else in life, God is what is most important. Consider the results of both men. Through Micah, the entire tribe of Dan was led into idolatry for the next several hundred years. Through Samuel, an entire nation was affected for the service of God. Mothers, what you teach and demonstrate before your children, make no mistake, has an influence on them. And the influence, it might not necessarily be affecting an entire nation. It might lead them into missionary service one day. It might just simply be that they're in a trade one day and they're simply honoring God, doing exactly what God has asked of them. By the way, the rewards are the exact same according to Scripture. No different. What influence will you have? As I thought about this, a few things here that I want to give. There's actually more than a few. We'll see if I get through them. Each one will go very quickly, though. I want to try and still be an encouragement when I'm thinking about Hannah and different things like that. About being at that position, at that level before God, of what was and placing her life and comparing it to our time today, you know, after the cross of Christ, with where we're at, with a, God has established local churches right now. And this is how God is working through, of course, the first institution, the family, the second institution being the local church. One, I know this from looking at Hannah. A godly mother in this position is one who is going to be saved. What I mean by that is this: if that term isn't familiar to you, there's a judgment day coming. You will be judged of Almighty God, and the problem is every single one of us are guilty. All of us. God is not going to look at you and weigh your good works and your bad works. He is going to look at your life to see if there is sin. And there is in all of us. And the wages of sin is death. There will be a separation from God in a very real eternal place called hell or the lake of fire. That's the reality. There's a judgment day coming. You need saved from that judgment day. That is why God became a man 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God in the flesh, on this earth, God the Son, here. Because God in His sovereignty had developed, he knew this would take place before the foundation of the world was ever in place. That this is what was necessary in order for us to, in order for Him to be able to save mankind. He couldn't just say, you know what, it's okay. Everybody come to heaven. It's not possible. You say, why not? Because God, who He is holy, He is just. That's not changing. Somehow He has to save us with His holiness intact, because that's who He is, and with justice intact. It's not just for God to say, just forget about all the times you've broken the law. That's not just. So what He did to satisfy holiness and justice was incredible. He says, you know what? I will become a man, what I have created. He becomes a man, walks on this earth 30-some years as a man, and He fulfilled holiness, He fulfilled the law, He was perfect, He was without sin. So now, as a man, the first time and only time ever on the earth, ever, you now have a man, a person, who could stand at judgment day and be declared innocent. He's it. This is where it gets good, though. He lived that perfect life for you. The Bible starts speaking of the cross. When Jesus went to that cross and He lived the perfect life, then He goes to the cross. That wasn't because of the Jews. That wasn't because of the Romans. This was preordained by God that this day would happen. Because on that cross, the Bible says it would be in that moment that God places upon His Son your sin. See, I don't understand that. What He's going to do on that cross is satisfy justice. He's going to take all your sin upon Himself, and God will judge Him in your place. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He became sin for us. He was judged for your sin. He experienced the wrath in your place. But hell didn't hold Him. After 3 days and three nights, He defeated death and rose again from the dead. He did that in order to save you. Saving you isn't in this church. It's not in that baptistry right there. It's not in you turning over a good leaf. It's in repentance and faith in what God the Son did for you on the cross. That is salvation. Next, what I see here is a godly mother with Hannah would be thankful for her children. Did you ever stop and just try and picture in your mind? I've already described it a little bit. When Hannah was taking Samuel to Eli, that was a tough, tough day. I mean, this is a mother who would be so thankful for her child. All the prayer, God finally opened her womb and given her this child. What had helped her with that day coming to that sacrifice was how thankful she was to God that God had given Samuel to her. Gratitude helps us in so many ways. Listen to me, I could preach just on this in regard to anything in life, including motherhood. Gratitude is so important. The devil will work very diligently to take away gratitude out from you being a mom. However he can do that. Whether it's through the frustration, whether it's through philosophy of this world, to get you to maybe focus more on the challenges of being a mother instead of the privilege and being thankful for what God has given you. Gratitude can help us in so many ways stay on target, stay humble before the Lord, thankful before God. It helps us to be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding. We also see a godly mother is willing to sacrifice, as was Hannah in that day that I talked about. And every mom in here knows this very well. Literally, they begin to understand it within weeks of conception and are throwing up over and over and over and over. Being a mother involves great sacrifice for many years. From the very moment it starts, there's sacrifice involved. Hannah is obviously a great example of somebody who before the Lord, understand this, the reason she wanted to do that, she knew, son, I've made a vow to the Lord. Your ability to keep those sacrifices up, to endure the frustrations, is to make it about the Lord. These sacrifices, but oh, are they worth it? And we know that anything in life that's worth something always involves sacrifice. And what is a greater one for us to give our time to than that of our children, to sacrifice to that end? I'm not going to get through all of these. I think I'll just give maybe one or two more right here. Let me drop down here to what I've got here. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6 about to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Let me deal with one aspect of that verse. And I do believe a godly mother desires to follow the principles that are involved in that verse. Moms, when you approach that verse, look at your responsibility with it. Okay? And that is to train up a child in the way he should go. That is a responsibility that, of course, much of this obviously applies to dad as well, by the way. That you are to train them up in a manner that is in an agreement with the Word of God. Not what you think, not what the latest new book thinks at the bookstore, but how has God designed this and how has God set this up? Be careful what material you are using in raising your children. There can be, and there are a lot of things out there that have a Christian name on them, supposed to help us with raising our children, but at times can easily cause you to lose your children. There is an ongoing battle for our kids. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We are to train them up in the way they should go, being in agreement with how the Word of God directs it. And really, don't make it more complicated than what it is. Don't. There is a simplicity that is in Christ. It's not that you have to be consumed with anxiety or check in all your boxes. If you will be genuine before God, real with your faith, you're in a place you're going to learn truth and you're trying to be the same and truly honor God and you're praying and seeking wisdom in relation to your children. Listen, God wants your children to turn out more than you do. God will direct. He will give the wisdom. And then, as they become adults, you have to learn to trust the Lord with what takes place. The world can throw a lot of curveballs at people nowadays. It can. And some, you know, that can have such promise, all of a sudden can leave many parents with a lot of heartache. Know what you do? You press on trusting the Lord. That's what you do. You press on trusting the Lord. I'll finish with just one more. I think there's about three or four left. I'm just going to finish with one more. Being a godly mother is going to be one who prays. Of course, that would include being in the Bible, but I just want to talk about the prayer time for a minute. To be a mom that is able to get a hold of God. to be a mom. And there's several different reasons for it. One, you need the wisdom, you need the grace, the strength, the help. I mean, many of you are educating your children. I mean, you need that help that from God in your life. You need those times to be able to go to the Lord. When all of a sudden, I mean, when at one point in time, we had four children ages 5 and under. That's a chaotic house. It's just stuff. I would come home. There are times I would come home and my living room would literally be a maze of books that they set up to be a maze. I just want to walk to a couch. That's all I want to do. But it can be so chaotic at times. You know, in those times when nobody seems to be listening, all the kids seem to be against you, all those times, you know what you need? You need those times you have to just go to the Lord and sincerely say, Lord, please just give me the grace and strength I need right now. You're going to need that ability to get a hold of God. You might not have all the answers, but you better be able to go to the one who has the answers. Or when the needs come up at those times, and they come up, when you have to intercede for your children, when you have to get before God, say, Lord, please. Lord, I need you in this. Strengthen your prayer life, moms. There is a tremendous privilege and responsibility with being a mother. Don't allow this society or anybody else or your family, maybe extended family, whoever it is, look down upon you because that's what you've chosen. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It is the work of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. With heads bowed and eyes closed.